אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום אוסטרליה. IDF operation Bayit Vagan began shortly after 1 a.m. on Monday with a series of airstrikes against multiple targets in the city of Jenin, including on a joint war room shared by various armed groups in the city. Prime Minister Netanyahu said later on Monday, "In recent months, Jenin has become a haven for terrorism. We are putting an end to it." He said Israeli forces killed several gunmen, arrested others, and found and destroyed a host of weapon and bomb-making facilities, some of them on an industrial scale. Netanyahu pointed out that the forces are operating in a densely populated area, and they're doing it with minimal harm to civilians. The military carried out a second airstrike on Tuesday night as forces began to withdraw from Jenin 44 hours later. The IDF said gunmen were stationed at a cemetery on the outskirts of Jenin and posed a threat to security forces as they left the refugee camp. This is further proof of the exploitation of civilian sites throughout the city and in the Jenin refugee camp by terror elements. Jenin Mayor Nidal Al-Obeidi said around 4,000 Palestinians, nearly one-third of the camp, of the refugee camp, had fled to stay with relatives or in shelters during the IDF operation. They returned on Wednesday to find massive damage to infrastructure, much caused by the IDF, but some by improvised explosive devices of Palestinian militia groups. Over 1,000 IDF troops were involved in the campaign, the largest in the West Bank in 20 years. The operation focused on a local wing of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, known as the Jenin Battalion, as well as other smaller armed groups in the city and refugee camp. Sergeant First Class David Yehuda Yitzchak from the elite Egoz Commando Unit was shot and killed on Tuesday evening as the forces began to withdraw from Jenin. Yitzchak, 23, from the West Bank settlement of Bet El, was buried at Jerusalem's Mount Herzl Military Cemetery on Wednesday afternoon. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said in a statement that his heart and thoughts were with Yitzchak's family. The two-day operation in Jenin came in response to a series of deadly terror attacks, many emanating from Jenin and the area. The IDF said all of the operation's 12 Palestinian fatalities were combatants, and most have been claimed by terror groups. Some of the dozens of injured were non-combatants. There were 100 arrests. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Thursday claimed that Israeli forces had obviously used excessive force during the counter-terrorism operation in Jenin. After Guterres's accusation, Israeli representative to the UN, Gilad Erdan, condemned the statement as shameful, demanded a retraction, and called on Guterres to condemn Palestinian terrorism. Guterres declined to respond. On Friday, the UN Security Council heard from Lynn Hastings, the UN's humanitarian coordinator for the Palestinians, that sections of Jenin were without water or sewage services and humanitarian workers were on the ground providing support. Hastings urged UN member states to contribute funding. 7 people were wounded, 4 of them seriously, in a car ramming and stabbing terror attack in Tel Aviv on Tuesday afternoon. The Palestinian assailant rammed his pickup truck into people on the pavement on Pinchas Rosen Street, then got out and stabbed others. One of the injured was a pregnant woman. She lost her child. The attacker was shot dead by an armed civilian, Kobi Yekutiel, who happened to be at the scene. Hamas later claimed responsibility for the incident. 5 rockets were launched from the Gaza Strip at southern Israel early on Wednesday morning. The rockets, which triggered alarms in the southern city of Sderot and other nearby towns, were all intercepted by the Iron Dome air defense system. On Wednesday, Palestinian gunmen opened fire from a passing vehicle at a police cruiser and a nearby store in a tiny Samaritan community close to Nablus, causing no injury. Staff Sergeant Shiloh Yosef Amir, 22, was murdered by Ahmed Yassin Khaydan, a member of Hamas from Kibian near Kdumim, on Thursday. Security forces were alerted to the presence of a suspicious car driving around Kdumim. when a civilian security officer and IDF troops arrived at the scene and stopped the car for inspection, Gaiden fired at them with a handgun and then fled. He was killed shortly afterwards. Hundreds of people attended Meir's funeral in Jerusalem on Friday. Protests broke out across the country on Wednesday after Tel Aviv police chief Amichai Eshed announced his resignation. Eshed said he was doing so in protest of a politically motivated demotion ordered by far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, who had accused him of not responding forcefully enough to anti-legislation demonstrators in recent months. Police said they arrested 15 people in Tel Aviv. All of the detainees were released by Thursday morning. Udi Ori, a colonel in the Air Force Reserves, who was injured and required eye surgery after taking a direct hit from a water cannon during the protest, said on Friday that he will no longer volunteer for reserve duty, vowing not to serve under a dictatorship. Former Prime Minister and IDF Chief of Staff Ehud Barak said on Thursday that pilots and other elite military members should refuse to continue to serve in the IDF if the reasonableness bill becomes law. Barak said that when a law passes that first reading in the Knesset, it's passed in order to prepare it for its second and third final readings. That marks the sounding of an alarm, a genuine alarm for the entire country. On that day, Barak went on, I expect the pilots, the Military Intelligence Special Operations Division, all to repeat their warnings. Netanyahu, watch out. The minute you try to turn the first reading into an actual law, we will not serve a dictatorship, period. The bill, which could prevent the judiciary from using the reasonableness doctrine to review decisions made by the cabinet, government ministers, and unspecified other elective officials, was approved by the Knesset's Constitution, Law and Justice Committee on Tuesday. Thursday saw demonstrators rally near the homes of numerous coalition lawmakers, including two of the leading figures in the judicial shakeup, Justice Minister Yariv Levin and religious Zionism MK Simcha Rothman, who heads the Knesset Constitutional Law and Justice Committee. Demonstrations were held throughout Israel last night for a 27th week. Hundreds of thousands participated in multiple sites. Speaking at the main demonstration in Tel Aviv, world-renowned historian Yuval Noah Harari said, "The time to stop the Netanyahu government is now. We are allowed to and must be angry for what the Netanyahu government is doing to the Israeli dream," he said. "And if the government does not stop, it will learn what happens when we are angry. If you unilaterally pass even a single one of your regime coup bills, we will oppose you with every non-violent means we have." At the Jerusalem protest, former Justice Minister and former Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni urged Israelis to protect our shared home and called for implementation of the principles of the Declaration of Independence, equality under the law. Hod HaSharon Mayor Amir Kochavi condemned the burning of a vehicle carrying a stack of LGBTQ pride flags, which was set ablaze on Friday in his city. The mayor noted the flags were burnt on the 17th of Tammuz, a fast day commemorating the breach of Jerusalem's walls by the Romans on their way to destroying the Second Temple. Tradition teaches that the temple was destroyed due to senseless hatred among Jews, which Kochavi said was behind the burning of the flags as well. He said he'd put in an order for new pride flags and that they would be hung around the city to instill values of equality, tolerance and pride in response to the hate crime. I hope that the arsonists and those who influenced him will be caught and they'll find a way to repent. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.